Hello and welcome to another episode of the Reptile Living Room, live from CRBE. In this episode, we are talking to Marcus Jane Ball Pythons, talking with Mark Mandick, and he was willing to talk to us about how he got started in the Python era, as it were. Once again, do check out our sponsors, Herpeticulture House Magazine, that's herphousemag.com. Do grab a subscription or a single issue, and you can actually buy a collected volume one if you'd like to do so now. So please do check us out, herphousemag.com. It's Herpeticulture House E-Zine, your only 100% digital reptiles magazine available today. And without further ado, here is Mark Mandick from Marcus Jane. Okay, so once again, this is John Taylor from the Reptile Living Room at Canada Reptile Breeders Expo, and we're here with Marcus Jane, or Mark Mandick, Marcus Jane. Mark, talk to us, how did you get into reptiles in the first place?
I think everybody knows how I got into reptiles. I've had more people come to me at this show and say, "So, your daughter got you into this, you know?"
Oh, okay.
Basically, long story short, my daughter wanted a pet reptile. I thought she was crazy. I thought you have dogs, you have cats, or whatever. But she insisted, you know, they were cool. So, there was a reptile shop in my community in Peterborough that I went into, and I said, you know, my daughter wants a reptile, what would you recommend? And first snake they recommended was a ball python. They had one there that was on display. It wasn't for sale. I held it, and as soon as I held it, it brought back all these memories I had as a kid when I used to hunted for snakes. I mean, I lived in a place where there was a big ravine behind us, and we spent every waking hour when we weren't at school hunting down snakes. So it was very cool. But what was cool about ball pythons was they were a big snake. They felt like a big snake without being a big snake, an overpowering snake. And they were very calm in nature. I was kind of hooked right from there, you know. So started trying to find them, buy them. That was difficult. I managed to find a breeder just up the road from me, coincidentally, after doing so many searches on the internet and talking to American breeders that didn't want to ship me a normal. Started from there and just got the bug bad.
Okay. Now, you've got some amazing morphs of ball pythons, and I dare say probably one of the largest selections of morphs that I've seen. How do you keep track of all the genetics? I mean, is it... Well, do you have a special machine at home that you punch in?
I'm fanatical about keeping records. I keep spreadsheets and actual, binders full of information, breeding records. I love keeping records, and just to know where everything comes from and this and that. So that's not a non-issue with me. I'm now going to... I've bought a barcode system.
Okay.
I'll be barcoding all my animals. All my animals will have a separate ID card that's going to be laminated. Well, they do now with barcode and everything, so I can track almost everything. There are some things I just don't need to track.
Right.
You know, like how many times it goes to the bathroom.
Right, exactly.
You know, but I'm an information junkie. I think that's what, you always fall back on information. If you have that information, it's great.
Very true. Now, the two of my favorites personally are the Javan piebald and the Lightning piebald. How did those come about?
Did you say the Java piebald?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Java was very interesting because I have a female that looked somewhat different, and it almost looked like, there was a morph out there, a phantom.
Okay.
And that was when, you know, all of a sudden people were discovering different genes in their collection. This snake looked a little different, so let's breed it to the other. Or let's breed it to a yellow belly, or let's breed it to a Mojave and whatever, see what it does. And I had this snake, and it was very, very different. And I noticed when I bred it to piebald male, and half the babies came out looking like the mother. So I thought, we're on to something here. So I held back one of the sons, bred it back to the mother again, and I produced a Java. And when it came out, it was very, very dark, rich morph, piebald, compared to the other piebalds, which are much, the orange is much lighter and more brighter, per se. And so I thought, well, this is definitely one of these. And then sure enough, as it aged, it just got darker and darker and darker. And originally I called them super orange because, just for my note, not, I didn't do it publicly, just I put on, this is a super orange pipe. Mm-hmm. But the orange disappeared and it turned into almost a black chocolate. So then I decided to come up with the name Java as a rich chocolate.
Right.
And I'm really, I mean, I'm super, super excited about that project because I think one of the prettiest snakes out there is the albino piebald and the lavender albino piebald.
Mm-hmm.
And they are crossing with regular pipes where the richness in the tones is not as nowhere near as dark and rich as the Java.
Right.
So I'm predicting that these are going to be a burnt orange, red, and white snake. And I think that will be mind-boggling.
That'll be stunning.
Yeah.
Very definitely.
Yeah.
Very definitely. And how did the lightning come about?
Well, the lightning was purely by accident. I wasn't working with Azanthic. I wasn't planning on working with Azanthic because, quite frankly, I didn't see a lot of consistency in the Azanthic lines that made me want to get into the project. And I bred a piebald to a het piebald female that I'd produced her. I had produced the male, and I went and looked at my eggs one day, and there was a silver head sticking out, and I was like, okay, I better go get my glasses because I can't see. And sure enough, it was pure black and silver. And I thought, what the heck's going on here? Well, further exploration revealed that it was a piebald as well. And I, in fact, had two of them in one Azanthic and one Azanthic piebald. And then I ended up producing another one. So I had two. And that's why I called them the lightning. Not just because of the color. When you look at lightning in a dark sky, it's black and silver and white.
Right.
But because people say lightning can't hit twice.
Can't strike twice.
But it did with me.
Right.
And that's how the name came up.
I like it.
Yeah. And it truly is the rock star, I mean, of my collection. As much as I've got, I don't know, 60 morphs on my table here,
right,
maybe more than that. Everybody oohs and ahs over the lightning.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Mark, I'll let you get back to work here. I know you got a bunch of more snakes to sell, so I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you much.
Okay, thank you.
So there you have it, folks. That was Mark Mandick from Marcus Jane Ball Pythons. If you would like to check him out, you can find him at www.ballpython.ca. And, of course, there will be a link in the show notes and all that good stuff. And, once again, we do encourage you to check out our sponsors. That's Herpeticulture House Magazine, the only 100% digital reptiles magazine. You can find us at www.herphousemag.com. And we will see you next week right here in the Reptile Living Room.